This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 257 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here is some of the news of Israeli attacks on Gaza and the West Bank between June 13th and 19th. Israeli airstrikes and artillery targeted Gaza City in the north, Rafah in the south, and in the central Gaza Strip areas of Deir el-Balah, Maghazi, Nusayrat, and Burej refugee camps over the last several days. Early this morning, Israel bombed the Sheikh Radwan neighborhood in the north of Gaza City, setting the top floor of an apartment building on fire and killing at least four people, as Israeli Navy boats fired heavy artillery at the Beach refugee camp in the west. Around the same time this morning, Israel once again bombed the Al-Mawasi area northwest of Rafah, targeting the tents of displaced people. On Sunday, as people in Gaza began to celebrate the Eid al-Adha holiday, Israeli forces struck the Burej refugee camp, killing at least nine Palestinians, including six children. On the same day, Israel killed at least two Palestinians in the Tal al-Sutan neighborhood in Rafah. Al Jazeera reported that Israeli soldiers targeted an ambulance that was trying to reach the victims as well. Attacks on Burej and the Nusayrat refugee camps continued on Tuesday. Israeli airstrikes killed 17 Palestinians in two separate attacks. Al Jazeera's Hind Kudari reported from the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir el-Balah on Tuesday.
This area was designated as a safe zone and an evacuation zone by the Israeli forces, where more than 1 million Palestinians evacuated from Rafah in the past month. All of these Palestinians came into the middle area thinking that it was a safe zone, and they're still being targeted, where the Israeli forces targeted at least two houses in Nusayrat in the middle area. They all were transferred to this hospital. We're talking about dozens of Palestinians injured, but there has been no medical supplies in Al-Aqsa Hospital. The hospital is packed. There's nowhere to walk and nowhere to get from a point to another, because all the patients and all the people injured are laying on the floor, to the extent that the Al-Aqsa Hospital established a new emergency department, the one behind me, because the hospital has been overwhelmed with patients and injuries. And not only that, since the Rafah incursion a month ago, there has been no medical supplies entering the Gaza Strip. So the hospital is going low on medical supplies and also medical and fuel.
That was Al Jazeera's Hind Kudari reporting from Deir el-Balah on Tuesday. On Tuesday as well, Israeli tanks invaded deeper into all areas of Rafah. Reuters reported that medics and rescue teams weren't able to reach victims buried in the rubble. A resident of Rafah told the news agency that, quote, "Rafah is being bombed without any intervention from the world. The occupation is acting freely here." Israeli forces have taken over the Rafah crossing at the Gaza-Egypt border since May 7th, closing it completely to both people and humanitarian aid. On Monday, it was reported that Israeli soldiers destroyed and set fire to the departures hall, the only exit point for Palestinians out of Gaza. The Israeli military announced on Saturday a so-called tactical pause in its military activity in the southern areas, claiming that this was in order to increase humanitarian aid deliveries. But Philippe Lazzarini, the head of UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, stated that, quote, "operationally, nothing has changed in southern Gaza." He told Reuters that UNRWA received a notification from the Israeli military that there would be a pause, but that it was only in English, not in any other language, and was soon followed by the government contradicting that instruction. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the military's plans for alleged tactical pauses, quote, "unacceptable." On Sunday, Israeli airstrikes killed at least eight Palestinians who were waiting for aid trucks in Rafah, including merchants and civil guards who have been organizing necessary security for aid distribution. Palestinian civil guards and policemen who are tasked with securing aid deliveries have been routinely targeted and killed by Israeli forces over the last 8 months. Journalist Hossam Shabbat said of the attacks on civil guards, quote, "it's clear that Israeli occupation forces don't just want starvation. They want chaos and anarchy. They are targeting anyone who's trying to implement rules and regulations. All they want is bloodshed and killing. A farmer in Khan Yunis expressed his anger over the U.S. and Jordanian airdrops when his farmland and greenhouses were damaged by the falling parcels a few days ago. Without proper regulations and security coordination for humanitarian aid, these airdropped aid packages are putting people in danger in multiple ways. The farmer, Raed Al-Agha, said that armed gangs came to collect the parcels and that he was threatened.
Al-Agha, a farmer, this is my farm. This is my message to the world who want to help us. Please, please don't throw food and assistance by plane. You don't help me. You destroy my farm. Look what the amount of destruction that caused by airplane. This is not assistance. This is not assistance. This is destruction. You destroyed my farm, everything. How can I defend myself from the people who come and run to me? They wanted to kill me. They come with knife and guns to take their portion of food. This is not a system. You want to help me? This is not the way. Change the way. Try to find another way to help me.
Israel's systematic starvation policies continue apace across the Gaza Strip. UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, said that, quote, with continued restrictions to humanitarian access, people in Gaza continue to face desperate levels of hunger. Over 50,000 children require treatment for acute malnutrition. The head of the World Health Organization this week stated that there have been at least 32 recorded deaths attributed to malnutrition already, including 28 children under 5 years old. He said, quote, a significant proportion of Gaza's population is now facing catastrophic hunger and famine-like conditions. Despite reports of increased delivery of food, there is currently no evidence that those who need it most are receiving sufficient quantity and quality of food. On June 14th, the director of Kamel Adwan Hospital in the northern Gaza Strip reported that they have so far documented more than 200 cases of children with multiple signs of malnutrition. And Israeli forces continue to block international aid convoys from delivering food, medical supplies, and aid to people in need. James Elder, the spokesperson for the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, said last week that the agency's aid convoy was stopped for 8 hours at an Israeli checkpoint inside Gaza, and then one of the critical aid trucks was also turned away. He said that fishermen were shot dead in front of him and his colleagues while they were waiting. He recorded this video on the same day documenting the aid truck convoy being stopped by Israeli forces. And I'll narrate the captions in this video for accessibility.
Whilst they keep discussing whether or not the people here in Gaza will get a ceasefire, we, the United Nations, will keep delivering supplies as much as we can. This is a truck, medical supplies, as you see there in Arabic, and nutrition supplies, preventative and curative, heading to the north.
After leaving Deir al-Balah with all the needed approvals to distribute these life-saving supplies, the convoy was forced to wait for more than 5 hours near a military checkpoint.
Here we are, still unable to go, still explosions. We are now, no truck. If you notice, no truck. That is the medical supplies, that is the nutritional supplies for 10,000 people. It was denied. After all the approvals, it's denied, it's gone back. 5 hours here, we'll have to do the same. 10,000 people will not get those medical and nutritional supplies that they so urgently, urgently need. Another aid restriction, another aid denial.
UNICEF will try again to deliver these critical supplies in the coming days. That was James Elder of UNICEF. The bureaucratic arm of Israel's occupation, Kogat, responded by calling Elder a liar and claimed the UNICEF truck that was turned away violated security protocols. The Israeli army is also destroying warehouses for humanitarian aid, food, and essential supplies. Humanity and Inclusion, a U.S.-based non-governmental organization, reported last week that the Israeli military had completely bulldozed its warehouse in Rafah, where they say nearly 200 pallets of humanitarian aid, including medical supplies, mattresses, and jerry cans for transporting fuel and water, were being stored. And the head of Refugees International, Jeremy Konindik, stated that due to Israeli attacks, the main warehouses, quote, in and around Rafah are now inaccessible or destroyed, and that other areas of Gaza have few remaining structures that are either suitable, intact, or safely accessible. He added that before the Israeli army seized the Rafah border crossing in early May, quote, aid groups and the bulk of the population were co-located in Rafah, and security there was manageable. Aid programs were much more straightforward. Now displaced people are much harder to safely reach. And he warned of the increasing risk of catastrophic hunger. Our contributor Sundus Al-Fayoumi wrote that, quote, the markets in Gaza City are usually full of people and goods before Eid al-Adha. This year they lie in ruins. Sweets, clothes, and festive decorations should be abundant on Palestine Square. This year it plays host to only a few stalls offering scant merchandise. Eid al-Adha is supposed to be a feast. Gaza is gripped by famine. More than 1 million people, about half of Gaza's population, face catastrophic levels of food insecurity. On average, just 80 truckloads of humanitarian aid were delivered per day during the first week in June. About 500 truckloads were allowed into Gaza daily before the current genocidal war began. More than 96% of women are not meeting their nutrient requirements, humanitarian groups have calculated. That was from Sundus Al-Fayoumi's feature, Famine at a Feast Time, on electronicintifada.net. Khalud Rabah Suleiman also wrote about the widespread hunger and starvation in Gaza. She writes about several children with chronic health issues who are particularly vulnerable, including a boy she spoke with, three-year-old Yaman. Quote, his health problems have worsened amid the current war, during which people throughout Gaza have become reliant on canned rather than fresh food, Khalud writes. Soon after food became scarce, Yaman started vomiting and having diarrhea. As he is dehydrated, Yaman should be drinking plenty of water and be fed nutritious soup to replace lost fluids. Yaman is living with his parents in a tent. It has been set up in Al-Mawasi, an area of southern Gaza. As there is no clean water available, Yaman's father, Ismail, has to visit a school a few kilometers away every day so that he can get a bottle of salty water. Ismail also spends a great deal of time looking for lentils, which can be used in making soup. Although Yaman has been taking nutritional supplements he gets from a clinic, his weight has fallen considerably. I am terrified of losing him, Ismail, his father said. He is my only child. That was from Khalud Rabah Suleiman's feature, Fears Rise for Gaza's Starving Children. And for more firsthand accounts of the systematic effects of Israel's starvation policies in Gaza, read Rueda Amr's features, Nothing to Eat at Eid, and Hunger is Rapidly Getting Worse in Gaza, as well as Iman al-Hajj Ali's Craving the Simple Pleasures of Eid, all on electronicintifada.net. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza reported on Tuesday that the health sector has lost more than 70% of its capacity across the Gaza Strip and that it is struggling with its partner institutions to support the remaining medical centers by establishing field hospitals, which are limited in their scope of services. The health ministry also appealed to international and human rights institutions to, quote, reveal the fate of dozens of health personnel who were kidnapped from hospitals while carrying out their humanitarian duties. This week, it was reported that yet another Palestinian physician was kidnapped and likely tortured to death by Israeli forces. Dr. Iyad Al-Rantisi, the head of obstetrics and gynecology at the Kamel Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza, was abducted by Israeli forces in November and taken to Shikma prison. He was interrogated by Israeli Shin Bet agents and died 6 days later. The manager of Kamel Adwan Hospital told the Tel Aviv newspaper Haaretz that neither he nor Al-Rantisi's family received any information about his fate. Haaretz stated that, quote, the Ashkelon Magistrates Court issued a six-month gag order prohibiting publication of all details of the case, including the existence of the gag order. Turning to the West Bank, Israeli settlers attacked and beat Palestinians in several areas on Tuesday, including the villages of Deir Dibwan, Huwara, and Burin. The Wafa news agency reported that settlers also set fire to Palestinian agricultural lands in the village of Barka, east of Ramallah. Israeli soldiers, meanwhile, shot and injured two Palestinian youths in Nablus on Tuesday, and this video shows at least seven armored personnel carriers invading the nearby town of Beit Abya early this morning. Other invasions were reported in Qalqilya, Jenin, and El Bire overnight. Three Palestinian youths were shot and killed during a raid into the southern West Bank village of Beit Omar near Hebron on Tuesday. Volker Turk, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, stated on Tuesday, quote, "The situation in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, is dramatically deteriorating. As of June 15th, 528 Palestinians, 133 of them children, have been killed by Israeli security forces and/or settlers since October, in many cases raising serious concerns of unlawful killings." Our colleague Tamara Nassar reported last week on the Israeli military's killing of six Palestinians in the village of Kfar Dan near Jenin. She writes that, quote, "Israeli forces and settlers have injured over 5,200 Palestinians in the West Bank since October 7th, at least 800 of them children. One third of all injuries were by live ammunition. Israeli forces and settlers have killed 51 Palestinian children since the beginning of the year, including two U.S. citizens, according to documentation by Defense for Children International Palestine." For much more on the situation in Jenin and across the West Bank, read Tamara Nassar's report, "Israel Kills Children, Damages Infrastructure in West Bank," on electronicintifada.net. And finally, we wanted to bring you some images and videos from journalists and others in Gaza who are not just relentlessly documenting the unspeakable atrocities, but also making sure to highlight the resilience, joy, and determination of the Palestinian people. Palestinian women made traditional date cookies to celebrate Eid in Khan Yunis, forming the rings of dough amongst the rubble. Our contributor, Abu Bakr Abed, posted these photos of himself with smiling children on Eid. Ahmed Al-Astal, a professor of architecture at the Islamic University of Gaza, which Israel has completely destroyed, showed his plans for the house he will build after the war. Volunteers began cleaning and repairing Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, which was completely decimated by Israel months ago. And the Palestine Red Crescent Society repaired one of its clinics in Jabalia. The Red Crescent said that they are, quote, "resuming operations and receiving the injured and sick at the PRCS medical post in Jabalia, northern Gaza. Our volunteers successfully restored and rehabilitated the site despite the significant destruction caused by the Israeli occupation soldiers." The medical association also saluted one of its veteran ambulance drivers in a social media post on Tuesday. Hamed Al-Kurdi, who they say has spent 20 years as an ambulance driver with the Palestine Red Crescent Society, said, quote, "Nothing compares to this war. I haven't seen anything like what's happening in all these 20 years. I will continue to work for humanity and I will not stop helping people. We have no other option." Hossam Shabat, a young journalist in northern Gaza, documented the installation of a water well this week in Jabalia refugee camp. He posted on social media that thanks to donations, quote, "we rehabilitated the center, which was destroyed by the occupation army, in terms of sanitation, pumping drinking water, cleaning the shelter center, and distributing cash to the displaced. We restored life in that area and distributed food in this place. The projects are continuing because of your support for the displaced in shelter centers. We continue, God willing, to extend a helping hand and provide relief to our displaced people in shelters. This is the first well to be operated after the occupation army destroyed the area, and God willing, we will work to operate a number of wells in that area." Hossam had a busy week. He also helped deliver clothes to hundreds of children who he said hadn't had a change of clothes in months. And on top of all that, he said that he's been working with his team to renovate and repair a UN school in the Jabalia refugee camp. He says that this school became a shelter for thousands of displaced families in Jabalia. Quote, when Israeli occupation forces invaded Jabalia a couple of weeks ago, they burned the school. My team and I have been working tirelessly to renovate the school in order to house the thousands displaced. Here is some of our progress. And that was from the young journalist Hossam Shabbat in northern Gaza. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our phenomenal writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.